Welcome to the seventh Sunday of Easter, virtual worship coming to you from First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Poughkeepsie on this 24th day of May, 2020. Let us pray. O God, who holds our unknown futures in your loving hands, who recognizes our fears, brings healing to our disappointments, and inspires our hopes and dreams, thank you for your confidence in us, for your calling of us into community to share in God's mission, which is to reflect the love of God in Christ Jesus wherever life leads us. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as with many of you, my experience of living through the coronavirus has been a journey of stages. Early in this year, I remember reading the news accounts of what was happening in Wuhan with a certain growing sense of angst. But at that first stage of this pandemic, I was more acutely focused, frankly, on what was happening in Hong Kong with the intensification of the demonstrations there. Suddenly, the street demonstrations ended as the virus threatened the health of Hong Kong belongers. And they had been well conditioned by their experience of the SARS epidemic a few years earlier to know what they had to do to keep safe under this new assault, hunker down and take every personal precaution possible and wait it out. And soon we were all learning about COVID-19's assault on Italy and its creeping spread across Europe and across the English Channel to Great Britain, and on to our own shores in Seattle and California and New Jersey and New York. And next we learned that it had jumped to pockets across this country where there seems to be a greater density of population or living conditions that make it difficult for the most vulnerable to escape the consequences. And of course, New York City, our own back doorstep, became the epicenter. And so the coronavirus made its way to us, even in Dutchess County. And I think most of us now know someone who has been affected. In the beginning, when our bishop guided the congregations of this synod to suspend in-person worship, I think most of us imagined that by midsummer, or certainly by fall, we would all be able to reclaim our places in the pews, or in my case, in the pulpit, of First Lutheran. Life as we knew it would resume, or pretty much the same as we had known it before anyway. But then one suspension deadline has followed another, and the new phase of our coronavirus journey is really to conjecture how long it will be before Dutchess County can meet the requirements of a careful multi-step phase-in process decreed by our governor and New York State to reestablish some semblance of normality again. As to how we have been managing our daily lives around social distancing, well, I think most of us began by hunkering down at home for the first week until our supplies began to run a little low, and then we took that first tentative trip to the supermarket or maybe to the pharmacy or maybe even to the liquor store, I'm not sure. But anyway, pretty soon we found our rhythm for how to minimize our exposures. The quarantini was invented. Boy, do I ever wish I had stock in Zoom. We instigated our virtual Zoom diner breakfast, fellowship breakfast, and even our Zoom pub nights. Our council meetings moved to Zoom, pastoral visits to FaceTime. But soon, even that didn't really help to lift our spirits much. Many of us began to venture out to safe spots in the open air for walks. But then, as the days became weeks, I, like many of you, began to yearn for human companionship. And so I found a walking partner. And we would meet up at the Poughkeepsie Rural Cemetery wearing our masks and keeping a respectful 6 foot of distance between us. I began to yearn for the sight and the sound of you, our precious First Lutheran family, and I finally decided a couple of weeks ago that I would embark on a beautiful sunny day on a journey of drive-by visits, pastoral calls to some of you. I sat 10 feet away on one porch with a couple of you, and I sat also in my car, looking out my car window, having a conversation with another one of you. I even drove over to church because I missed the sight and the sound of the traffic going by on Mill Street. And I sat across in the big municipal lot, and I just longed as I looked at the front doors of our church. So I called the Frank family. And they all happened to be gathered at that very moment that Sunday afternoon in their cars, pointed nose to nose in Ernie and Elaine's driveway. They were having a family gathering where they put me on speakerphone in the very center of their conversation. And just to hear their voices laughing together lifted my spirits. Does this sound familiar to you too? Meanwhile, Linda and Carol did even better than that. The need to connect with our church family took such a powerful hold on them that they dreamed up a beautiful, safe, and timely way to be church together. They got busy finding a safe way to lift up the graduations of two of our church family members, Emily and Joshua, and a third in absentia, and that would be Eamon, who have all graduated from college this year. What a landmark. We were all facing isolation, weren't we? Weren't we feeling alone and disconnected? Did the end seem like a far, distant mirage? Well, as my dear friend from East Boston, Mabel Mann, once said, "Aren't you the church? Then do something." And so our church family did, led by Linda and Carol and Nancy. They organized a parade on Saturday afternoon to bear witness to our unity in Christ, our collective joy in the accomplishments of these wonderful young people, and our affirmations of the beauty and gift of life, yes, even in the midst of the coronavirus. Well, this Sunday, we are marking the seventh Sunday of Easter, part of the great 50 days in which the church celebrates our risen Christ, whose light shines out into the world of pain and suffering with the power of resurrection hope. As with last Sunday's text, today's gospel cycles us back to the time right before Jesus' suffering, crucifixion, death, resurrection, and ascension, when Jesus is expanding on his last words to his closest disciples. When we listen again to Jesus' prayer on the far side of Easter, we hear it in a new way. For one thing, we notice that Jesus is not speaking with his disciples in a way that emphasizes how far off the mark they are, how wrong they have got it. In this portion of his final discourse, Jesus instead underscores how precious his disciples are to him and to God's ultimate mission. In Jesus' earnest prayer to God that we are overhearing this morning in John's Gospel, he entrusts his disciples, whom he has so diligently mentored, into God's care. And he boldly affirms their faith before God in this prayer. In fact, this is what he prays. "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." In this beautiful prayer, Jesus describes his disciples, these very fallible human beings whom he has seen at their very worst and also at their best, as God sees them, precious, full of potential, striving to be faithful, and full of promise. Jesus knows that his disciples will be facing a world that will oppose God's message of unconditional love and forgiveness and call to justice. Jesus' example in his earthly mission embodies all of that, but Jesus nevertheless affirms his disciples' strengths and possibilities while praying for them before God. Jesus knows the suffering his disciples will face as they strive to reflect the love of God in Christ Jesus going forward. And so Jesus stops and prays for them. And in his praying, Jesus affirms his confidence in their calling. We live in a challenging moment in history. There's no doubt about it. Unlike any we have experienced before. The sense of isolation is acute. The longing for life together almost a physical ache. We don't know on some days if we're up to the task of remaining faithful, living in the tension of the hope against hope that St. Paul has written about. But if we were to step back and hear this prayer of Jesus for his disciples, as though Jesus was praying it today for us, would it make a difference? Would it make a difference to you and me on this 24th day of May 2020, in the midst of the unknown future of the COVID era, if we realized that Jesus is in fact praying for us before God, right here, right now? That Jesus is describing us as being precious, full of potential, striving to be faithful, and full of promise. And that God calls you and me to see others as God views us, with unconditional love, compassion, faith in our potential. Whether consciously or not, that's exactly what Linda, Carol, Nancy, and the collective First Lutheran family did when dreaming up or participating in the drive-by celebration yesterday for Eamon and for Joshua and for Emily. In celebrating their accomplishments to date, and specifically their college graduations amidst all the constraints of the coronavirus and the wonderful potential yet to unfold in the lives of God's precious children, Eamon, Emily, and Joshua, you have all lived into Jesus' prayer for his disciples. You have reflected God's confidence in us, his beloved ones. You have risen above your own angst and sense of isolation and striven to live out our calling to be in community, no matter how challenging under present circumstances, and to lift each other up. After all was said and done, when Jesus' disciples look back on that earnest prayer of Jesus on their behalf, in the context of all of the challenges of their own respective ministries, it had to have made a tremendous impression on them. They must have drawn great strength from the confidence Jesus had in their potential to live into their calling. And so it is with us. And someday, after Eamon and Emily and Joshua reflect on this time in their lives, perhaps the ache of disappointment and not having been able to cross a stage with their classmates to receive their diplomas in the traditional way, with family and friends looking on with pride and the school band striking up Elgar's pomp and circumstance and all the pre- and post-graduation parties that they anticipated. Maybe all of that will be tempered by the memory of their little church family pulling out all stops in the midst of the COVID-19 epidemic to reflect God's first love and pride in them as beloved children of God. Last Sunday afternoon, I spent a rejuvenating 3 hours out in the open breezes on appropriately distanced lawn chairs with a dear friend of 45 years, a fellow Luther College alumna and ELCA pastor. It had been about 13 years since we had last seen each other in person. We got to talking about our life journeys, about faith, about our families, about retirement, about our hopes and dreams for the future, about how this pandemic has frustrated some of those plans. At some point, we both reflected back on a person who had been pivotal in our lives. He was the former dean for student affairs at Luther College when we were young children, practically children, Orland Monsager. We were very young, and the future was wide open and unknown to each of us. And both of us began to reflect on how this wonderful mentor had listened to our youthful dreams as we tested them out in his presence. And in comparing notes 45 years later, each of us realized that Orland had essentially said the same thing to us at different times as we trusted him with our hopes, This is what he said. Sure you can. Of course you can. Orlin believed in us. He never faltered in his faith in our potential and his faith that God would be with us as we pursued our respective callings in life. And he never failed to back us up along the way, even in the times when we fell down. There is much to be said for seeing Christ in each other. Catherine Matthews reflects. But there is also something to be said for seeing ourselves as God sees us, with steadfast love and compassion, and with hope too for the future and what is yet to be. And there is so much comfort for all of us who have no idea what will happen next with our futures under the influence of the coronavirus, in knowing that just as Jesus prayed for his disciples, expressing confidence in their ability to be faithful in their calling into the unknown future, so also our Lord prays for us right now. Prays that we might shine with the reflective light of Christ out into the world of pain and suffering with the power of resurrection hope. Amen.